Stand up, because we're going to continue our worship by reciting the Mavatwa. Okay, now I know you guys are just learning that, so let's do that one more time. Just got to set up the Mavatwa. Ready? It means memory verse of the week. Okay, let me see you do it. Ready? Mavatwa. And the girls are like that. Here's how it goes. Do you have it on the screen? Okay, they're getting it. They're getting it on the screen for you. Remember, the first word is what? Finally. Okay, give them a minute. It's going to go like this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, right? Whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence or if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Philippians 4:8. Mavatwa. Good job. Have a seat. Did you guys get it? Okay, you had it up there. I'm gonna need one quiet volunteer. So who's that going to be? Let's see, let's pick. Okay, this young lady right there, you wanna come and help me out? Come on up here, honey. All right, what's your name?
Kirsta.
What is it?
Kirsta.
Kirsta, all right, everybody say hi, Kirsta. Now, Kirsta, there's a story I like to tell every year just to get camp started out about how God made everything. Can you be my helper for that?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to start at the very beginning, kind of like in The Sound of Music. Let's start at the very beginning. Right, you guys don't even remember that. Anyway, we're going to go back to Genesis 1:1, which says, in the beginning, God created the and the earth. Okay, we'll get to Revelation by midnight if you guys stick with me. But Kirsta? Kirsta, catch these. Count how many I'm throwing to her. Ready?
One, two, three, four, five.
Did she catch them all?
Yes.
Give her a hand. That was good, Kirsta. Now, I need you to throw them back to me one ring at a time. And let's switch places so that we don't hit JG's guitar. Okay, so when I say go, you throw me each ring, but pick the blue one first. Because if God started with the heavens, that's kind of like the sky. What color is the sky?
Blue.
So ready, set, throw. Thank you. So God made the beautiful blue sky, and he said that it was good. Can you say good?
Good.
That's right. But was he done with the beautiful sky? No, he wanted to put lots of beautiful things in the universe, like me. What are you laughing at? So he said, let there be light, and there was. So he made the beautiful stars in the sky. And what color is the closest star to us? Yellow, that's the sun. So find the sun, please. Kirsta, ready, set, throw. All right, good throw. And God made the beautiful sun, but he wasn't done that with that. He wanted to make the planets too, like Mars and Venus and Neptune and Saturn, and the one we're on, which is called what? And what color is the grass on earth?
Green.
So find the green ring. Ready? Unless you're going through a Texas drought, right? Okay, ready, set, go. Okay, give her a hand for that throw too. Very good. So God said it was very good, and he was making all sorts of things now. He's making waterfalls. He was making really tall mountains. He was making really low valleys. He was making, you know, hats for everybody to wear. No, that came later, but anyway. So God made all the beautiful things on the earth, but was he done yet?
No.
God wanted to make some plants and animals. So let's skip ahead to the animals. Do you know any animals that are tall with a really long neck, Kirsta? The giraffe, okay. What color is the giraffe? Orange, brown. Pick the orange one. Okay, take the orange ring, and when I say go, ready, set, go. Give her a hand for that throw. Very good. Okay. And God was very happy with his creation, but was he done yet?
No.
God wanted to make a friend for the giraffe. Does anybody know any friends of the giraffe? Nope. It's the polar bear. It's not in the Bible, but it fits my colors. Okay, so pick out the polar bear. That's the white ring, Kirsta. I want you to take the white ring and put it around my neck. Can you just put it there? I would prefer you placing it there, not throwing it at me. Okay, you know, it helps if you stand behind me. Oh, yeah, much better. Okay, stand behind me. Just put it right. Ow! Did she just try to cut my neck off? Okay, just put it there. Thank you. All right, she put it there on my neck. Okay, now I have to take the polar bear off my neck and juggle all five. Do you want to see?
Yeah.
That's funny, so do I. Okay, hold on. Give me a second to set this up. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And God said that it was good. Can you say good? That's right, there is one more thing that God made. On the sixth day, he made his favorite thing of all. He made pink unicorns. No. No. He didn't make pink. Yes? He did make pink unicorns. No, it's not. Oh, I know. He made pink dragons. Fire-breathing dragons. No. What did he make?
Pink hippos, I don't know.
Pink hippos, I don't know, she said. God made his favorite thing of all, he made people. He made two people, their names were Adam and Eve. Now, we don't know what color they were, so I'm not saying they were pink or anything. What I'm saying is that on the inside, they had the color of love. They had pink inside their hearts because they had love for each other, they had love for God, and God had love for them. It was perfect love all around. So take that ring, Kirsta, and please throw it to me like a frisbee at my head. Oh, a little bit softer than that. When I say go, too. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Just right here. When I say go. Ready, set, go. Just got ring of the root. There. Give her a hand for that throw. Very good throw. High five. High five. You can go back to your seat now. So now I'm going to try to juggle six rings for the 6 days of creation. Are you ready? You don't sound ready. Okay, here we go. Oh, hold on. That's okay. Do I get a second try? All right. This is very hard. Got it. There's a reason I dropped. It's biblical. In the book of Exodus, chapter 4, verse 3, the Lord said to Moses, "Throw it on the ground." It has to do with a snake. Just look it up later. Okay, so I need another 2 quiet volunteers. I need a boy to play Adam and a girl to play Eve. Just keep your clothes on. Okay, so let's pick Eve first. Eve. I need a... Let's see here. Let's pick... Okay, how about you with the hearts on your shirt? You want to come on up here? Come on up here, honey. No, I'm sorry. I was pointing to her right here. Come on up here. Come on. She's like taking her jolly old time. Hi. Right here. What's your name?
Nicole.
Nicole? Wait. Nicole, tonight's your lucky night because you get to look out there and pick a husband. Wait. Do you see any cute boys?
No.
You want me to pick one for you?
Yes.
Okay, who wants to be Nicole's husband? Okay, how about the boy with the hat on? Yeah, right there. All right. Okay, come on down. Okay, Nicole. Nicole, you ready? You ready? What do you think? How old are you?
I'm 12.
You're 12? How old are you?
11.
11? Oh, that works. 12, 11. Okay. Now, because Adam and Eve were in the garden, all by themselves with the Lord, they had some decisions to make, right? So let's find out about their decisions. First of all, let's get the setting. Here they are in a beautiful paradise garden called the Garden of Eden. And everything was happy, everything was perfect, but then something happened. And it had to do with a tree that was in the middle of the garden. And it wasn't just any old tree. It was a tropical tree. We usually think that the tree in the middle of the garden had apples growing on it, but the Bible doesn't say apples. The Bible says fruit. So I like to think that the tree that they were supposed to stay away from had the forbidden pineapple! Dun, dun, dun! So whatever you guys do, don't eat the forbidden pineapple! Okay, all right, back up a little bit, guys. Just say, yeah, right there, right there. Okay, here we go. Oh, man, it's like juicy and everything. Water's going everywhere. Okay, here we go. One, two, three. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, so here they are in the garden with the forbidden pineapple. And God said, you can do whatever you want in the garden, anything at all. You can climb trees. You can name animals. You can go on a romantic date together. Whatever you want, just don't eat from the tree in the middle of the garden, because that is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if anybody eats from that tree, then they will die. And they will grow a pineapple mustache. That's okay. So here they are. And let me ask you kids something. When mom and dad tell you not to do something, what do you want to do? It's called temptation. So they looked at that tree and they felt temptation. And a snake helped them out. And the snake said, hey, you're not going to die. Just take a bite of that little forbidden pineapple. And they didn't think anybody was looking. And starting with the woman, she went ahead and took a nice, big, juicy bite. Real bite. Real bite. Uh-huh. My arm's getting tired, honey. Real bite. Okay, hold on, hold on. Just kiss him. She took a bite of the forbidden pineapple. But it's not all the woman's fault, right, ladies? Right. She gave it to her husband who was with her, and he took a bite of the exact same pineapple. No, a real bite. Better than that. Come on. Come on, come on. Take a whole bite there. Oh, yeah, just go for it. Oh, go for it, buddy. Yes! Now it looks like very scary pineapple. How's it taste? Pretty good. Hey, I think that's the part she kissed. That's kind of like kissing. I think he likes you. Oh, like I said, something bad happened because they ate the fruit. This is my favorite part. You guys want to see a superpower that I have? Because they ate the fruit, they fell. I know. I'll teach you guys later about the Jedi power of making people fall without touching them. It's pretty cool. They fell away from God. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? And the Bible says in the book of Romans 3:23, all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. So every single one of us has sinned against God. It's not that we've eaten a bite of pineapple. That's not the sin. What Adam and Eve sinned in is that they thought that they could be their own God. They thought it was called selfishness. It's called me, me, me. I'm in charge. God's not anymore. That's original sin. And when you feel that and you want to be your own God, then you're trying to step into God's shoes, which is not going to work. And you're going to find out that what you're tasting by trying to be selfish and take control of your own world and your own life and be in control of everything, make up your own mind and not listen to God or his standards, you're going to find out that it's a pretty miserable place to be. And they fell away from God, and he kicked them out of that paradise garden. But you know what? God loves them, he loves you, and he has a way for you to return to something even better than the Garden of Eden. Amen? He has a way for you to return into his family so that that fallenness is now restored. So we're going to find out about that. But before we do, can you give Adam and Eve a big round of applause for helping me out? Thank you, guys. Help you up. You want a souvenir? Huh? Souvenir. Okay. Souvenir. There you go. Merry Christmas. Okay. Put that right there. So that's why I bring this along. And now, I want to tell you the rest of the story. So you need to pay close attention, because about 2,000 years ago, God sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, from heaven down to earth. And Jesus was born to the Virgin Mary, who took him and rocked him in a little cradle. And then Jesus grew up and became a teacher. So he grew up and went around to the different villages teaching people about the kingdom of God. So he's making his rounds and around and around and around and around. And people would come from miles around just to listen to what he had to say, because he was a really smart teacher. And he taught some pretty crazy things, like loving your friends and loving your enemies and praying for your friends and your enemies and giving them the extra coat and going the extra mile. But he was more than a teacher. He was also a healer. Like if people had diseases, let's say they had a broken arm, he could heal that broken arm by, you know, making it whole again. Or if someone had a broken leg, he would just touch that broken leg and they would run away jumping for joy, right? Jesus was an amazing person, but he was more than a teacher and more than a healer. He was also the Savior or the Messiah. Now, that means that he was coming to save people from their sins. In fact, he said that he could forgive people of their sins. Only God can do that, though. But Jesus looked like just a man to a lot of people. How could a mere man be claiming to be God, they thought. Well, Jesus was special. He was both human and God at the same time. Does that make you scratch your head? Yeah. There was something very special about him in that way. So some people believed him and some people didn't. The people that believed him were followers and were called disciples, that did believe him. The people that did not believe him, well, they tried to get him arrested, which they finally did. They hit him. And then they killed him on a what? And that's how they killed really bad people back then who did really bad things. But did Jesus ever do anything bad? No, he's the one and only human in history who never sinned. That's exactly what is necessary for us to be saved. See, we're all sinners in need of something to save us from our sin. We can't save ourselves, so God took care of business by sending his one and only son to take our place. We deserve to be punished, but he loves us so much that Jesus Christ took the punishment for us. Amen? So he was dying on a cross for our sins, and then they buried him in the ground, and 3 days later he proved that he had the power over sin and death, and Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Do you want to see that one again? Okay. The Bible clearly states also in the book of Romans that if we believe with our mouth, and in our hearts, if we say with our mouths and believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord, and we believe that God raised him from the dead, then we will be saved, and we will rise to a new life in Christ as well. Amen. Amen. And that is the gospel. Now, I know some of you have seen that story before, but can you ever hear the gospel too many times?
No.
All right, so what I want you to do now is take out your Bibles. And some of you were paying attention to the screen when you walked in. You saw four Bible verses, and it said, please bookmark. Raise your hand if you did that. Raise your hand if you bookmarked. Good. That's a lot of you. Not everyone was maybe on top of that or knew what was going on, so I'm going to give you a little grace tonight. That's okay. I'm going to give you a little bit of extra time to find the verses that I'm going to show you on the screen. But each night, when you come in here, I want you to bring your Bible and bring just four or five little strips of paper. It can just be a piece of paper that you rip up into little pieces. If you have paper clips or something small, it doesn't have to be big. Use those as bookmarks, and I want you to sit in here and find the verses, use your table of contents, and bookmark the verses for the evening. Are you guys with me? Say yes. Okay. All right, so first I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 10:5. If you already bookmarked it, you should be able to find it quickly. If not, again, I'm going to give you a little bit of extra time here. It's in the New Testament. It's not Chronicles, that's Old Testament. Corinthians is in the New Testament. That's the last part of your Bible, just the last 25% of it. And then if you flip through, it's kind of about halfway through the New Testament. It's a big book, 1 and 2 Corinthians. So find 2 Corinthians 10:5. In future nights, I'm going to try to keep moving, but because of the bookmark thing. But tonight, I know that some of you didn't fully know what was going on. When you're there, put your hand on your head. Okay, hands down. Okay, now I'm going to read it. If you're not there yet, just pause. Don't keep looking. Just listen, okay? Listen to God's word. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive, everybody say captive, every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Let me show you something. If I juggle 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, if I juggle 5 balls, and these are bouncy balls, okay? If I juggle them like this, what happens if I drop? They what? They bounce where? Away, okay? What if that happens with all of them, okay? Watch this, okay? Take all 5, juggle, juggle, juggle. Okay, what if that happens to all 5, but what happens to them? They bounce where? They bounce away. Wow. One time when I was in middle school, there was a boy who actually happened to go to my church. And he kind of had the reputation of being a bully or a mean kid. He was into a lot of really scary stuff and dangerous stuff. Even in middle school, he was known to be or said to be into drugs, okay? This was really scary stuff. And he had the reputation of like beating kids up. And I was just this little tiny scrawny guy. I haven't changed much since then. But here I am in middle school. And in church one morning, I knew this kid from school, but we didn't talk because I was like afraid of him. One time, I don't know what happened, but I looked his way and he looked at me with like this mean look, like, you know, kind of like in the movies, like, you know, but like, and I was just like paralyzed inside. I was like, he's gonna kill me. You know, just the way he looked at me. I was so afraid and I was so nervous. And that was on Sunday. I went home later that afternoon. I said, Mom, I forget the kid's name, you know, Billy. You know, Billy looked at me the wrong way. I think he's gonna beat me up. And my mom was like, come on, Jesse, he's not gonna do that. I'm like, no, I'm really afraid. I did not want to go to school the next day. Just because of the way he looked at me. He looked at me the wrong way, and I got fearful. I got afraid. And this is why I dropped the balls everywhere, okay? I was afraid in the moment, and I was just thinking about myself and not the almighty power of God protecting me. I was just thinking about myself, thinking I was going to get beat up, and this was really scary, and I took one little thought of fear, and guess what? It bounced away, and I kind of started chasing it, and I was like chasing it down a dark road of not just fear, but now I'm chasing it down a road of like anxiety and being paralyzed by my thoughts. It was kind of scary, actually, too, like being paralyzed by these thoughts. And it took my mom to calm me down and say, Jesse, this is okay. My mom knew the difference between when it's a really serious situation, which sometimes it is, I understand. This was one of those situations where it was all in my head. It was all empty thinking that I had. I went to school the next day, and because my mom just helped calm my fears, I saw him, and he didn't do anything. He just walked past me in the hall. It was all in my head. Like, I just kind of let my thoughts get the best of me. Now, again, sometimes there's a serious time when something is dangerous around you and you need to talk to an adult and they need to take care of it, right? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, or it's a real threat of some sort. But this was not one of those times. I let my thoughts take control of me instead of doing something else. Letting my thoughts, okay, if they bounce away, right? If they bounce away, you can try to catch your thoughts, but they might keep, you know, bouncing away from you like that. Unless you do something with those thoughts. Unless you take them captive. Okay? Really captive. There we go. Okay, is that ball going anywhere now? Okay, I have captured the ball in the basket. I'm standing on top of the basket. He's not going to escape. When you have thoughts, whether they're thoughts of fear or anxiety or even sinful thoughts, like you're thinking a thought of hatred towards somebody else, or you're thinking a thought of you want to lie about something coming up, you need to cover up something and you need to lie about something, or you have thoughts going in a direction that you know are not pleasing to God, you can kind of follow those thoughts. They're going to chase you down some dark alley. They're going to take you into the jungle of the dark world, or you can take those thoughts and do what with them? You can capture them. And it's not that you just capture them and then say, okay, I've got my thought captured. I'm just going to hold on to it. No. You then capture it and you make it obedient to who? Christ. You give your thoughts to Christ. You say, Jesus, take my thoughts. I need you to guide and direct my thoughts. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians, it says, but we have the mind of who? Christ. When you're in Christ, you have the mind of Christ, okay? He empowers you to have good thoughts. And that's what our memory verse is all about. That's what this theme is all about. Whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, excellent, all those things, we want to think about those things. Okay, so one more time, 2 Corinthians 10:5, you should be there. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Now turn to Philippians 4:8. You should have bookmarked that. So go to Philippians 4:8. I know I'm putting it on the screen, but just out of practice, can you turn to it with me also? Okay, 4:8. A little trick with the letters of Paul, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, I think General Electric Power Company. Have you guys heard that before? Okay. GEPC, General Electric Power Company. So if you see any of those four, you know you're near them. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence or anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Now look up at the screen. I'm going to show you something that looks really, really weird. I hope I don't lose any of you, but I'm going to get all Greek on you, okay? There's not going to be a test on this later. Don't worry, okay? That's a funky looking Greek word. I want you to hear what it sounds like. Logizestha. You want to say it with me? Logizestha. Okay, again, there's no test on this later. Don't worry. But if you look closely, let me show you something here. It's kind of cool. Okay, you guys see that letter? That's L-O-G-I. And that looks like a C, but it's really a Z. but let me show you the next slide. That's from which we get the word logic. Do you guys see it now a little bit? Logic. Logic is like thinking, like reasoning out things, using your brain, using your noggin. Again, I don't want to lose you guys here. Okay. If you look at the Bible, when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, what is the Word? Anybody know? Who is that? It's talking about Jesus Christ. You don't have to turn there right now. It's on the screen. Follow me here. The Greek word I showed you, that's the same root word for the word word. Okay? Like when it's talking about Jesus Christ is like the full embodiment of God's word to us. And so when Paul tells us to think good things, he wants us to think in such a way that we're filling our lives and filling our minds with God's word, and not just the Bible, but everything about Jesus Christ, his life, his thoughts, his actions. We want to fill our minds with all those kinds of things. And not only that, the word also means not just to think, but to act. Okay, there's two meanings here, to think about it and to act it out. Because you can think one thing, but would you guys agree that it's something else to think it and live it out at the same time? Right? Okay, so when Paul tells us to think good thoughts, he wants us to think good thoughts and then do what with them? Act them out. Okay? Live out those good thoughts. And the brain is a very powerful thing. Everybody point to your brain. Okay? God gave you a very powerful brain. And it's so powerful that it can be used for good or for bad in a very powerful way. For example, I went to the Perot Museum yesterday. Anybody been there? Okay, with your class or school? Put your hands down. It's like a science museum in downtown Dallas. I got to go there yesterday with my intern who's with me this week. And we sat in the there's a section about the human body, and they have this thing about the brain, and you can put your head on a little thing that'll like read your mind. Okay, I'm not kidding. You put your head on it, and if you think like happy, peaceful thoughts, it will like shoot a ping pong ball up in the air in this machine. But if you're thinking like dark, you know, hurtful, hateful thoughts, then the ping pong ball won't shoot up in the air. It can tell, based on like the wavelengths going on in your brain that it's reading and sensing, it can tell if you're thinking like a happy thought or a sad thought. And I tested it. I'm like putting my brain on it, and I'm like thinking about my wife and my daughter and my garden at home, and like all these ping pong balls are like pff, 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 pff. And then I started thinking about like darkness and fire and pain, and like nothing happened. It was like the graph was going down, down, down. Is that amazing? Okay. Now, I'm not here to talk about the amazing technology. What I'm talking about is the amazing brain, okay? If technology like that can sense and read your brain, if it's thinking good thoughts or bad thoughts, how much more so is God? Does God know exactly what you're thinking about, kids? You guys understand me? Okay, your thoughts and your brain, they are powerful. And when you think good thoughts, it's going to develop you into a good person, that the kind of person that God wants you to be. If you're thinking dark, hateful thoughts all the time, and you're thinking about sin, and you're letting sin control your mind, you know what you're going to turn into? You're going to turn into everything that Satan wants you to turn into, okay? He's going to drive you down that road of darkness and sin and death. And God wants you to rush towards his glorious light. And so Paul is simply saying, fill your mind with good things. Because whatever you fill your mind with, that's going to come what? That's going to come out of you. Okay, so now go to the next verse that I had you guys bookmark. It's in Colossians 3, chapter 3, 1 through 3. Thanks for sticking with me, guys. I really appreciate it. Okay, when you're there, put your hand on your head. Good, thank you guys. You guys are doing great right now. Appreciate it. Okay, hands down. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, this is verse 4, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. So think about godly things. Don't think about earthly things. Keep your mind focused on him. another exercise to prove to you how powerful your brain is and how God wants you to use your mind for good things. Our brain is affected by the things we surround ourselves with, the movies we watch, the things we look at on the internet, the words that we surround ourselves with, the friends that we hang out with, and the words that they say. Those all affect your brain, and they're going to affect the way you act to the people around you in this world. Let me show you how your surroundings affect you, okay? For the next 10 seconds, I want you to not think about a green monkey. A green monkey, okay? Don't think about it for 10 seconds. Ready? No green monkey in your brain. Go. Okay, 10 seconds are up. How many of you thought about a green monkey? Don't lie. Okay, the rest of you are probably lying. Okay. And now, I want you to stare at the screen. And for the next 10 seconds, you can't close your eyes or look away. Stare right at the screen, everything you see on the screen, and don't think about a green monkey. Okay, stop. Look back at me. How many of you thought about a green monkey? Don't lie. All right, put your hands down. Shh. Thank you. Guys, I could do that with your sense of smell, have you smell something and not think about it. I could do it with your sense of touch, like touch something and not think about it. I could do it. All of our senses, our five senses, are, you know, tasting, seeing, hearing. All I had to do was say green monkey, and where did it go? Into your brain. All I had to show you was a green monkey, and where did it go? Into your brain. So, do you think watching some horror movie is you're not going to think horror thoughts? Okay? When we watch things with our eyes or listen to things with our ears that are not pleasing to God, some music video or some music out there with all these lyrics about like attacking women or all these curse words or all these bad things that are filled with a lot of these music videos and music that we hear, do you think you can just listen to that and it's not going to affect you? I'm telling you guys, even if you think it's not affecting you, it is. What you fill your brains with is what's going to come out. And so God wants you to fill it with good things because he's God and he loves you. And he wants you to have the life that he has intended for you guys. Can I get an amen? An amen, okay? So, moving right along, let's close with that last verse I put on the bookmark, Matthew 22:37. Matthew 22:37. Okay, when you're there, put your hand on your head. If you had it bookmarked, you should be right there. Tomorrow night, I'm not going to give you this much time, okay? I want you to bookmark it ahead of time when I give you those verses. Okay, hand down. 22:37. Some guy asked Jesus, what's the most important thing in the world? What's the most important law to follow? Here's what Jesus said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and all of your mind. That's the first and greatest commandment. Jesus summed up everything with that one main commandment, and love your neighbor as yourself. Worship God with your mind. There was a kid in my children's church a few years ago. We were going around saying prayer requests. And during prayer request time, he just blurted out a curse word. I mean, just out loud in front of everybody. Everybody was like, oh! I found out later that he was always watching movies with curse words in them. Surprise, surprise. Okay? So I realized that he was being surrounded by something that was not affecting his brain or his life in a very positive way. The same thing goes with everything that we surround ourselves with, whether you're in control of it or not, guys. Okay? So I want you to make good decisions, and I want you to submit those decisions and thoughts to God, because I believe by God's grace, he will keep you safe. By God's grace, he will give you the right decisions to make and the right thoughts to have. It's not about us doing it on our own strength or earning God's love by doing those things. Let's ask for God's grace to think God thoughts all week long and for the rest of our lives. You guys ready? Okay, so I want you to put your hands down on your lap or fold them like this. I'm going to pray you out of here. And we're going to pray that God would fill us with a great week of good thoughts about God and about love towards each other, okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your grace. Thank you for fun things like juggling, but I also thank you that we can dig into your word and that we can learn about the things that you teach us. You teach us to have good thoughts. You teach us that our thoughts affect our actions. And so we want to commit those thoughts to you. We want the mind of Christ. And some of these kids this week, maybe they don't have a relationship with you, and maybe this is the week that they can do that. They can take that step of faith so that they can not live on their own strength, but let your thoughts control them and let the mind of Christ be their guide. So I pray that you would give these kids good thoughts and good actions all week long and give us a happy, healthy, safe week. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. 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 I want you guys to be dismissed.